Okay, but it's three?
Nope.
No.
Well, then we should. That may just be that it didn't get printed because.
And get those in the email you.
I didn't see the zoning amendments. I saw it in your agenda, so I just don't know what the amendment is, but. So I just brought the ordinance with me and I figured we could talk about it.
6:30. Yeah, we can work through the workshops, huh?
Oh, no, she didn't send it back.
No.
It looks like I sent it to her on Friday with the changes that needed to be made.
Might be in her folder. Should I look for it? It might be in her folder.
No, because if it's not.
It's too late to read them and.
Right.
Make any corrections to them.
Right.
Yeah, I sent it back to her and said, there's still information missing that you need to finish.
Okay.
But I don't see that I got back the final.
That was Friday, right?
Yeah.
Because I told her to send it.
Well, she was scrambling on Friday to get the agenda to heat, to try to, yeah.
I know she was.
Shahana was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, and so our person who's been here about 90 days was trying to fill in. She was doing her best to try to fill in.
She was having problems with her leg on Friday, too. So
was she?
Yeah, she called me and told me she had to be late. She,
so the 407,
she couldn't even walk.
We're combining that with
that's
the
a problem.
Warehouse.
Okay.
And we just, at our last planning meeting, we just got the comments from our engineer. Because we're referring to the ITE for it.
Okay.
IT, am I right? I'm dyslexic.
Yeah.
Okay. And he gave us an 11-page document that is wonderful, but we're talking about with Tony about making it an addendum to the zoning ordinance, so they have to follow it if they fit in the categories, because it doesn't only do warehouses; it does more than warehouses.
Right.
But that's something we would definitely be looking for to narrow down what each business is and how many trips it takes and.
Oh yeah, when it's going to do our roads.
But Bob, what he's looking at is what's on the agenda for today.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
what the planning.
No, I'm
board.
Just explaining them what we're going through with the 407.
So 407, I thought we were waiting for.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
407,
we're waiting for the Water Authority.
Right. So the issue with the map is one over whether or not the changes are substantive.
On the zoning map?
Yes.
We went through this. I got to pull the documents again. I'm looking for them. We went through this. Tony went through it. The problem was back when there was a change made to one property, that property didn't exist on the map yet. It was created, but it didn't exist on the map that at the time where Secretary Bai had it. And she colored in the wrong piece of property, which is residential, and there's, I don't know, 60-something homes in there at least.
Oh, okay.
So now they're saying there's our changes are 95 lots. It's not. There's two developments that got colored in wrong that are residential, and you can actually see where the R was on it, and it was changed to the C at the time because we didn't have low growth. We had a conservation district.
Okay.
And we took that paperwork up, me, Kevin, and even Ray went with us one time, and we showed them all the proper paperwork, how it went through the hearing, and we had the tax ID numbers, so we were able to show them where the mistake was made. And they agreed with it, but now they're sending it back again. That's still an issue. It shouldn't be an issue. So Tony asked me to find the paperwork again. Somewhere I have a whole folder on it, son.
Okay.
We've been working on this map for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a process.
We went up there, we met with the county, got everything squared away. They drew a map based off everything we did, sent it to us, and then they sent us also a letter that said we got to send it back to them for review. So we sent it back for them for review, and then they sent it back with all these comments.
Oh,
if,
of course. course.
So that's where we're at with the map.
Right, well, so the issue became, do we have to post 95 property owners' properties, or does it become an entirely new zoning map? And I guess that the answer to that question depends on whether you believe it's substantive changes or not, which it was supposed to be a map of exactly what had already been approved, so that it should not have been any changes that should have required posting anybody's property.
Right.
But apparently, despite several rounds of communication...
More than several.
There's a little difference. There's some discrepancy between the records.
Well, that's what
and yet, the prior communication from the county didn't say anything about the 95
no.
properties.
They only had four comments on the original, and then all of a sudden it turned into a mess.
Right. All of a sudden, when they asked us to do several additional things, and we declined to do those things,
right.
And then all of a sudden we got you need to post these 95 properties when you do this.
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean that's prohibitive. I mean, how are we going to go out and post 95 properties individually?
Well, the problem is the properties aren't wrong. They were wrong on the one map,
mm-hmm.
but that got colored in here. Because, like I said, the property that actually got changed didn't exist on the map we had in stock because we didn't get the new map yet with the tax lots. So the wrong one got colored in. And we proved that through the tax ID numbers from the meeting, the hearing, and everything when it got changed to commercial. And they were happy with that because it took Hickory Hills Development was all of a sudden commercial. You know, it's a residential development. Whenever... Originally, it was commercial, but when the development went in, it was changed to residential. And we had all the paperwork for that. We had everything to do with the map from 86 up until 4 years ago. So now, that's the latest. At the last meeting, Tony asked me to find the paperwork again, because I had sent it to him. He went to battle over the map, and then he sent it back. So now I got to find where it is.
I think this time it needs to be signed for.
Yeah.
Yeah. From now on, every time files leave, gotta sign for them.
That's a good idea.
That's the second time.
In the process, though, did we pass the ordinance and so we made the changes? It's just the map is basically a typo.
The map wasn't updated when the zoning changes were made. So now we're trying to do the GIS-based map.
Which they made for us.
That matches all the zoning changes that were made, which, you know.
That's the latest map we have. We brought it to planning, we went over it. Every lot is the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
They had concerns because Blue Ridge Cable here, they're in residential, but that's what it was when they went in there. And it never got changed.
Sure. Even if we change their zoning, they'd still be able to operate as Blue
Ridge Cable. Right. So they wanted us to change that, and there's one that I gave them all the paperwork on the hearings and everything, Quickie's property, that was changed to commercial, and they're saying that needs to go back to residential.
My nephew just bought that.
Your nephew bought it?
Yep.
Lot 6?
He bought all Quickie's property.
Oh, he bought all of it.
House and everything. Closed on the 18th.
Because they're under the impression, it's in Milford Heights, and Milford Heights Road has restrictions, no commercial traffic. And these lots are at the top of the hill. But he got a right-of-way to go out to Shakopee Road, so he'd have access to his commercial lots.
Makes sense. When we used the GIS map to create the new zoning map, were we going parcel by parcel, or were we using large swaths of area? All right, this is residential, this is commercial.
Well, we had,
it's delineated both.
In planning, we had marked each property what it was supposed to be, and that's how it started. And then we went up there with all the supporting documentation of where the changes were made. And at first, they said they only had the 86 map, which was our original map. And we argued about it, and then finally, it came out of the file room, and he says, well, I found the 91 map. Okay, so now we're up to 91, and there was one in 97. But they're claiming they can't find the 97 map. Oh. And the only map they have is not in color. But it has, if it's the tax map, it'll have on it what a letter for each thing, whether it be DD, if it was conservation at the time, or low growth. Each lot would be, each area would be designated what it is.
And through the public hearing system, where people coming in and saying, "Oh, wait, no, I shouldn't be classified as commercial. I should be residential." Or
well, it's the opposite actually, because Route 6, at one point, we made 1,000 feet back on both sides of, well, our side of Route 6, but both sides where we own both sides, any of our properties went back 1,000 feet commercial, except for the residential ones. The residential developments, and some people put houses on it, but now they're getting hit for residential all of a sudden, and they want to know why they're getting hit residential when they're a commercial property. Now you can pay residential taxes on a commercial property, but the changing of the property should never happen.
Sure, and then they come back to us because it's affecting
the value. Right, because if they have sold the house, somebody might want to put a business there.
Sure.
They want to keep the commercial.
Yeah.
Standing.
I'm wondering if we're going to make those changes, it may be less of a pain in the butt to just do unless it's going to be cost prohibitive in terms of advertising or anything like that, or even more planning commission reviews, and rather than posting the individual properties, just advertise it as a complete change of the map.
That's exactly what I thought we were going to do.
And hold a hearing.
And Tony came back and said that he was being told that the changes weren't substantive enough to count it as a whole new map. And so I was interested in what you had to say about that, but I thought you were going to kind of get the heads up about that ahead of time, and that didn't happen. So I wouldn't expect you to be on the spot about that.
With 95 changes, it might be substantive.
That's a lot of parcels. I mean, if it was two lots that were accidentally, zoned residential, that shouldn't have been.
But all clustered in this one development,
yeah,
as opposed to other places on the overall zoning map. And that's why I was, curious what a second opinion would be on whether that was, because at various points in time, the answer, looking at the same map, has been different. And so, and this is dragging on and on and on in a way that just doesn't make any sense anymore, in my opinion.
Yeah, because we had probably 4 or 5 meetings with the county to go over all the paperwork. And the last one, we sat down, we laid it all out on the table. All right, here's this change, here's this change, here's this change, here's where everything was changed. And even the minutes I brought in from each meeting, and it said that we got county correspondence, but it doesn't say what it was about. So their stance was, well, we don't have every content on the map.
I've always taken a stance with the county that they can't tell us what to do here. We have our own zoning ordinance. They can't tell us what to do either way. I mean, we can take their suggestions.
Yeah.
And of course, if somebody...
And we've done that.
But...
It's just like, all right, here's the map. They come back. They say, okay, these 4 things are what we're looking at. Well, we don't want to change that one. We don't want to change that one. These 2 are correct. Okay. Now we send them back the answers. There you go. Now all of a sudden it comes back, we got 95 changes. It's like, come on, where does it end?
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
So, in addition to that issue, which we're not going to put to bed because we're not going to put you on the spot like that, another thing I think we could talk about during workshop is I asked to have authorization for attorney, parentheses S, to assist with development of proposed multi-use zoning amendment on the agenda for the regular meeting, because there was apparently a meeting that Tony participated in with Mr. Waldron. And there was an email that was sent about that, which was sent to county planning in addition to us. But I guess accidentally so. However, Andy Belwar was not included in that, and I inquired about that. And I was told that if instructed to include Andy in subsequent meetings, then certainly Andy would be advised if subsequent meetings were going to be happening. I don't know, and that's why I asked to have it on the agenda, so we could discuss it, because the situation that we have, so you have the full context, in 18 and 19, an application, not directly actually an application, a request for a zoning amendment, both a curative amendment and a change to density.
First, we got the application, because it got sent back to them that it would be accepted at the next planning meeting, which I denied it, because I was chair at the time, because it was an incomplete application, but they already had a letter from the township stating that.
You were on the zoning here, you were on the planning commission board, mm-hmm. back before the whole explosion?
It's a lot next door, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about before the explosion.
Yeah.
I thought you were appointed after we had our...
Nope.
So in any case, this township went through a great deal of difficulty, right? Planning commission members penned a letter to the supervisor, to the public, that they placed in the newspaper, asking people to come out to the public meetings and give their input about a potential zoning change. That resulted in the supervisors asking.
I wasn't there.
That resulted in the supervisors asking for, actually terminating. The planning commission members. Four of the five planning commission members. Two went quietly. Two sued. The two that were sued were reinstated to this board, to the planning commission, I'm sorry, not this board, the planning commission board, after basically a year of litigation happening.
When that happened, that's when I came on.
Right. That was my recollection. Okay. So that applicant sort of disengaged for a time. That applicant has now returned. And so we... gave the planning commission a separate counsel to deal with that applicant, right? That applicant is coming saying that they want now a curative amendment that they feel that we should be putting in place, because they have multiple commercial uses that they're proposing, and they don't feel that our ordinance adequately addresses how to delineate and handle multiple commercial uses in multiple buildings. There are places in the township that already have that happening, but not on the scale, I would say, of what is being proposed. So right now we have this attorney
one place that's like that, and that place was grandfathered because it was there before all zoning.
No, Apple Valley has multiple uses.
Yeah, and they were there before all zoning was in place.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, what about Tommy Moranti?
That's one building.
No, two buildings. He's got the storage units buildings, and then he's got the office buildings with the law offices.
Oh, that's right.
Right, so there are a few, and we were dealing with other applicants who had that door.
Yeah.
But again, not on the scale of what's being proposed
next door.
So we hired separate counsel for the planning commission, and now we have the applicant engaging the supervisor's attorney for development of the ordinance, and whether or not they are engaging the planning commission's attorney who's handling that matter is what is on the agenda for us to discuss tonight. And I thought during workshop we might take a couple of minutes.
And where we're at, our section 306, I believe it is use is not provided for. They don't feel that they should have to go through any type of hearing for use not provided for. because every use that they're proposing is either a permitted use or a conditional use on our, in our zoning already. And the answer we've come up with for that is that if you want to do it that way, it's fine, but then each building lot has to meet the full zoning. And if they didn't want to do that, the deed to the property would have to be no further subdivision ever, because we could never subdivide a piece of property that would be non-conforming.
Certainly.
And instead of that, they want to try and rewrite a multi-use, multi-use ordinance.
And they want that in as a curative amendment to the current zoning ordinance.
All right.
Ideally, that's what they would like. The question that I put on the agenda for today is about authorizing Tony and Andy to work together rather than, I have to say
They should be working together.
It rubbed me the wrong way to get an email from Tony saying that this was in the spirit of transparency, when in fact the Planning Commission's attorney was not engaged and no personnel from the township, appointed, elected, or just plain residents, was engaged in this discussion. Now, Tony's answer to that was to say that it was scheduled within the hour that it was being held. And the way I feel about that is that we're not allowed to have emergency meetings when the emergencies are created by us.
Right.
And I would feel the same way about this. My question is, how do you all feel about having one or multiple of our attorneys working with the applicant and holding these meetings to try to develop the ordinance?
My personal feeling, I wouldn't want it to be held about our ordinance without some kind of planning representation, like a planner, somebody that writes ordinances.
And I'm not sure if that's why Brian was copied on that email. Tony indicated to me that was accidental, so.
I'm assuming Tony just replied to all and maybe didn't realize Brian was on there.
I'm not sure how Brian would have gotten on there then.
He was on the original. I looked.
He was on the one from DEPG. So Tony Waldron is engaging the county planning office.
Of course they would, because they want it.
Indeed. So again, in the spirit of transparency, though I hate the idea of having multiple attorneys racking up the bill at a huge rate, it was clear to me that if this board didn't act one way or the other, this was going to continue to happen in the same manner.
Well, my entire thoughts on this is there shouldn't be any private meetings like that. If they're going to have a meeting like that, they should come into us. So we are here to hear everything.
Well,
because no decision can be made at that meeting.
One of the great things about having Sean here today is he's a completely independent attorney to say, would you typically work independently with the applicant's attorney in a situation like that to develop a product to bring into the planning, or would you think you would only do that at the open public meetings? I mean, I would think that very often an attorney would assist in drafting a document like that before a meeting and coming in with something for the folks to look at, as opposed to in having them there for, coming to a public meeting for every single discussion about the actual development.
I mean, if we're going to do that, then I would suggest both attorneys go. No offense to Sean, but Tony knows we stand on a lot of issues.
This has nothing to do with Sean, and that's why just on the concept of what would be typical is the only thing that I would ask Sean to weigh in on.
No, I'm just explaining to him where I stand. You know, if what's the other guy?
Andy.
If Andy and Tony are going to go to the meeting, it would be, I have to have Tony there because he knows the township. He knows what we look for. He knows the things we want, we don't want.
Does he?
I think he does. Where Andy's coming in cold, really doesn't have a background with the township. If you're going to go that route, I'd like to see two of them go. But in reality, I think if they want to draft something and rather than have a meeting like that, it should be sent to the plan to review.
So Sean, what is your, would you find it typical for you to work with an applicant to develop something to bring into the public meeting?
Normally, in my experience with the curative amendment type things, the applicant would actually bring their version of the ordinance that they're suggesting to the township. I've never had anyone ask the township to actually work with them to develop it unless they're agreeing to pay our costs, meaning like, yeah, sure, you can utilize the township solicitor in helping to create your the ordinance that you're proposing to us as a curative amendment, but the taxpayers here aren't going to foot the bill for that. We'll sign an agreement, you can, and you're going to pay, that's a professional review fee that's going to be on our dime. Then yeah, of course they would be able to meet, all those attorneys would be able to meet as long as the developer's paying for it or the applicant's paying for it. I mean, as many public meetings as we can have, of course, if they're going to present something to the Planning Commission, of course, we want all that in public. We want all that to be discussed in public. But, I mean, two attorneys working together probably wouldn't, this wouldn't be, or, you know, a public meeting forum probably wouldn't be the best forum to get something done.
Right.
For two guys working together, two gals working together. But you have transparency in terms of the meetings, discussing, here's the amendments that we made, here's what we want the Planning Commission to consider, here was our thought process behind this. Like, once it's done. But if it's just two attorneys exchanging some verbiage for an ordinance, they could probably do that alone as long as, you know, as long as the applicant knows that they're also paying for our time. You know, that's just coming in looking at it that way. That probably wouldn't be unheard of. I'm guessing the applicant came in and just, did they submit a curative amendment application?
They filed a conditional use application, but not a zoning application.
Right.
And we don't know, this board has not seen any of it because it is a conditional use. And so it has received a response from our zoning officer, which Tony has seen and is privy to. And then the applicant subsequent to that came to Planning Commission meetings, and then he came to the supervisor's meeting to just verbally indicate their request to work cooperatively with the township on this issue. So I think, you know, we're just about at 7.
Yeah, let me just put in the biggest issue I have with it is last time we did this, we told them it was four things we had to look at, which was lot size, recreational, sewage, and parking. And they came, they hired a company that actually rewrote our whole zoning ordinance and brought that into us. And that's not something we're looking to do. And if they, you know, if they want to stick to the one thing, it'd be okay, I guess, to put it together and then bring it in. But there can't be any decisions made until it goes before planning and before the supervisors. And
oh, definitely.
I think your comments were very helpful. Thank
yes.
you, Sean.
Oh, my pleasure. Did you guys, with the conditional use, the conditional use doesn't come to you guys?
After it goes through the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Outside of us having the hearing, we're not to engage in it in any way, only what happens at the hearing. So we have not received copies of the application or anything like that, or the correspondence from the zoning officer. But Tony has. And he's tracking it, and he's on top of that part. And I gather it has not been accepted, so we are not under the clock on it at this time.
Right.
The clock is right. My biggest concern.
Indeed.
they've only come in under public comment. I'm on the planning board too, and you know, I recuse myself when they're there. But the first step is all documentation goes to the zoning officer with a zoning permit. Because technically, it's not a conditional use until the zoning officer declares it a technical use.
I call a meeting of the Milford Township Supervisors to where we pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Introduce Sean. Do you want to introduce Sean?
You can know better than I do.
I don't, but so if you're taking a look at our attorney and thinking he doesn't look like Tony usually looks like, this is Sean Logsdon.
Yes.
Who is our alternate solicitor. Tony was unable to be with us today, and Sean was graciously available and willing to come in and help us today. So thank you for being here, Sean.
My pleasure. Thank you for letting me fill in tonight. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Sean. What's our pleasure on the minutes?
I think we have to table the minutes.
Yep. I'll make a motion we table the minutes.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hey, we didn't do roll call.
We don't at the supervisor's meeting.
Oh, that's right.
Treasurer's report.
I received $1,716 from zoning, $15,000 fiscal year 2024 fourth quarterly payment from Pike County Commissioners, and I also received $500 from sewage. We didn't put the funds transfer in the agenda, so I don't know if that can be done for the next due payment and payroll.
Okay. Roadmaster's report.
That's not actually costing any money. It's just an internal transfer of funds.
Right.
So are you asking for $5,000 or to the payroll account?
$5,000 to the payroll and $10,000 to the bill payments account, which is NBT checking account out of the Pickett General.
And the ambulance account balance here, that's $15,077, that is the $15,000 check that's been cut?
Yes.
Okay. And so we've received no ambulance tax revenue yet?
That $77 was from late payments of taxes. So.
But nothing from Lorelei for 2025
no.
yet?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay. I'll make a motion to authorize the two transfers as Shahana described.
I'll second that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
Thank you.
Roadmaster's report. Since the last meeting, we've had the guys have been a couple different times. So far, we've been spreading some 50-50 mixture instead of straight salt, trying to save on the salt. Right now we look pretty good for having salt. We still probably have 100 ton of salt left, so hopefully we don't have to purchase any, as long as the weather sticks with us. This time I'd like to make a motion that we discussed last fall about giving Harvey a raise, and we failed to take action on to it. So at this time I'd like to make a motion that we increase Harvey's salary by 3.5%. Retro back to January 1st.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. So, hopefully when the next weather starts straightening out, we're going to, got a lot of trees that's been down and brush we got to clean up along the shoulders of the roads. We had a tree down last Friday. Of course, nobody called it in, but it pretty much had the dirt portion of Shakopee road block. We went up and cut that up. People just don't, tree goes down out there, they just don't seem to call us unless it's completely blocking the road. They drive around it or over it. Definitely weren't going to drive over this one. It was about 18, 19 inches in diameter. That's all cleaned up. As soon as the road dries out up there, pretty much, we got a lot of potholes up there to fill again. That dirt portion just doesn't stand up to the plows, but we stay on it. And especially with fishing season coming up, Lily Pond will get a lot of activity, so we'll have a lot of activity on that Shakopee Road again. But outside that one, pretty good shape. I won't be able to do any paving this year because we don't have enough money. So we'll try and keep up with the potholes and stuff that's around. Moving on to zoning.
I saw a permit for a single-family home and a well permit for the same property. That's it.
Public participation.
My reason for living.
We are going to change your name to public.
John Q.
John Q, yeah.
This thing isn't on ever, is it? Oh, it's all right. So, first of all, I'd like to thank Shahana and whoever else worked on... I was going to belt out a rock song, ZZ Top or something, but we'll forego that. So I'd like to thank everybody for providing me with the information. I look back to 1986 on the Route 6 property where the Lattimore sheds are and those trucks are parked. And going through every document that was provided, there was no conditional use, there was no grant for this use or for this to be allowed. I think as a final step, what I'd like to see, what I'd like the supervisors to do, is take our zoning officer, get him up there, run the plates. I know you're going to have a hard time being there at the same time these truck drivers are.
They can't run the plates by law.
By law?
They're not law enforcement.
All right, so should I sit there in a folding chair? Maybe I'll do that. Or is that trespassing? That's unfortunate.
How are you going to run them, Fred?
No, I'm not going to run them. If somebody shows up, I can actually talk to them, just ask them how they came to be parked there and why this is okay. And did this go back prior to the zoning ordinances coming in? Well, just to close it out. Just to close it out. Yeah. I don't know what you can do, can't do. Like you said, I mean, I'm agreeing, you know, for the zoning officer to go up there and it just so works out that there is a truck driver there that he could talk to is, well, probably may as well buy a scratch off, you know, so. But I think as a last step, just to close it out, if there's another way that you guys can think of how to do this, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
Close it out. Yeah, I'm trying to understand what you mean to close out your question, Fred?
Right, to close out
why they're authorized.
Are there, right, exactly. Right.
They've been there a long time, Fred.
Well, that doesn't help. I mean,
I understand it doesn't help, but, you know, that property's been used for so many things. That one field back there used to be a burning pit. Yeah. I mean, a gigantic burning pit.
So how does this actually work? So township zoning ordinance came into effect in 1986?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So that's why I went back to 86. So, but how do we know that trucks were parked there prior to 86? I mean, we don't.
So
nobody knows.
Sean, could you explain just a couple minutes about what the doctrine of laches is and how that works in enforcement of zoning if you have something that's been happening for a long period of time?
Sure. There's actually a couple of different doctrines that go along with the idea of laches, or sometimes it's called variance by estoppel. Sometimes those are usually the key words that we use in the zoning parlance would be things like variance by estoppel or, the idea of laches, meaning that once there is a certain amount of governmental inaction, meaning if someone has been doing something, and there's a couple of different varieties of this, but if something's going on, if there's a use on a property and that there is a continual use that is open and obvious, whether they may have gotten a permit or not depends on whether it becomes vested rights or whether it's just variance by estoppel or different laches or estoppel principles. And I'm sorry to be using these ridiculous legal terms I'm going to try to not talk like that, but it's really the only way to explain it. It basically means that if something's been going on for a long period of time, the government is stopped from enforcement actions against it. Getting into a situation where we have, I'm not sure exactly how many records we have that indicate that there's truck parking or something like that going on this lot, or that there's some other commercial activity that there may not be a zoning permit for. If it has been going on for a long time, it would preclude the governmental agency, meaning our zoning officer through the township, for going in there and issuing a notice of violation because of the fact that we've, unfortunately, and obviously not for the people that are sitting at this table today, but that the governmental inaction for a significant period of time has created a vested right in the continued use of that property at that time. Laches basically means that the government had not done anything for a while, and then the vested rights go into place because nothing has been done in for a while. And again, it's not the fault of anyone at the table, it's the fault of enforcement of the zoning ordinance over the years, or as long as it wasn't hidden or something like that, or it wasn't a secret use, like a secret jewelry store, a secret fireworks assembly area or something like that, that would be something that the township wouldn't know about. But when it's something like this that the township either should have known about or did know about but hasn't enforced, it makes enforcement actions quite a bit difficult. And that's kind of the concept I'm trying to get across, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand that concept perfectly. I'm just saying that we could just close this out to understand who gave the